The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know how the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome back, everybody. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approaches Jesus and she says, "Hey, Jesus, I want my two boys, one to be at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom, in your glory." And Jesus says back to her, "You don't know what you're asking for, do you?" And it's true. She did not know what she was asking for, because do you know the only time in the Bible in which anybody is listed as being at Jesus' right and at his left? It was Good Friday on Mount Calvary. You know the story. They brought him to the place called the Skull, and there they crucified him between two thieves, one on his right and the other on his left. So be careful, Mrs. Zebedee. Be careful what you ask for. Greatness in God's kingdom is not determined by rank. Greatness in God's reckoning is not determined by positions or possessions. What determines greatness in God's kingdom? What determines greatness in God's kingdom? It's great love, isn't it? And great love is a consequence of great sacrifice. That's why Jesus immediately turns to James and John and says, "Can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from?" Now, one simple thought for you here this morning. I just want you to focus on those words, "that I'm going to drink from." Just focus on those words here today. Because when Jesus says, "Can you drink from the cup," right, you know he's talking about his suffering and death. The cup, it's a metaphor. A metaphor for suffering, and in Jesus' case, suffering unto death on the cross. But Jesus doesn't turn to James and John and say, "Hey, you guys ready to suffer?" He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "Can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from?" Message being, he wants you to know that in all of your sufferings, you do not suffer alone. There's nothing you could ever suffer in life that he didn't suffer first. And that's a great, great strength. You know how we build up that strength? We build up that strength. Your greatest strength in suffering is remembering God's presence. We need to build that up every day. You know how you do it? You do it by practicing God's presence 1,000 times a day. And this presumes that you're already taking time to pray, and it presumes that you're trying to live God's commandments, and that you're receiving the sacraments regularly. But if you're doing all that, 1,000 times a day, turn to the Lord in prayer. Build up your awareness of God's presence. It's your greatest help to know that He's with you in no matter what you suffer. He drinks that cup right alongside you. You know, because most people live their entire lives perpetually afraid of what's going to happen to them next. People won't admit this, but it's true, right? We're all neurotics, constantly afraid of what's going to happen to us next. It's why people hoard up more money than they need in preparation for some catastrophe that might happen. It's why people are constantly worried that they can't hoard up money in preparation for catastrophes, perpetually afraid, right?
Right.
What did Jesus say? Jesus said, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. You don't defeat fear with funding. You defeat fear with faith. That perpetual awareness of God's presence. One of my favorite things to think about, you know, I like to pray about this because it helps me a lot. Maybe it'll help you. Psalm number 23. Everybody knows this one line from Psalm number 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because you're with me. That's why I'm not afraid. Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say there is no valley of the shadow of death, right? God does not take away our troubles. He doesn't take away our problems. It doesn't say, I'm not afraid because you're going to take me out of the valley of the shadow. No, because you're with me. God does not, I'm sorry to say, deliver us from our troubles. Rather, He makes us perfect by letting us walk through those troubles, but He walks through them with us. James and John would indeed drink deeply from the cup of suffering, wouldn't they? 11 out of 12 apostles would die a martyr's death. But when that hour came, they were ready. They were not afraid. They were even joyful because they practiced God's presence. Let's you and I do the same, and especially today, ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to know that God will never leave us to face our perils alone. St. Catherine Drexel, pray for us.